When I was in 10th grade, my family moved from Dallas, Texas to Beaumont, Texas. Dallas, we lived in the North Dallas area, and I went to Lake Highlands Elementary School, went to Lake Highlands Junior High School, and went to Lake Highlands High School. And my sophomore year at Lake Highlands High School, I was president of the sophomore class. I played sports. I was kind of, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't a big deal, but I thought I was, right? And but I had friends. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Midway through my sophomore year, my dad came to me. My dad's a pastor, and he came to me and said, Eric, God is calling us to move. And I thought, what a terrible thing for God to do. And he said, it was a family meeting. Me, my older brother, and my two younger brothers were there with mom. And said, God's just really moving us to Beaumont, Texas, and changing churches from a church in Dallas area to Beaumont. And, I put on a brave face because, you know, God did it, and so I'm supposed to respect that. And so we moved to Beaumont. Here's the challenge. In Beaumont, everything was different. Didn't know a soul. And really didn't like the people that I met. You ever been there? I had no friends in my class. I used to be president of a sophomore class, but now I was a guy who didn't wear the right style jeans. I was a guy who had a weird looking haircut. That was back when I had hair. I was the guy that talked funny and looked funny and acted funny. And I had no friends. And I would come home from school, and I was just so distressed about my lot in life. And you know, mom said, well, you know, God's got a purpose in all this. And I'm like, I'm tired of it, right? I'm tired of the purpose. And every day I would walk through this journey where I would repeat to myself, I don't know anybody, nobody likes me, I don't eat lunch, I didn't eat lunch with anybody, I ate by myself. Where I would delight in that today, back then, that was kind of terrible. I ate by myself, I was alone. I felt like I didn't belong. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt like you didn't belong? You're walking along life's journey, and you are repeating, like I was, this litany of loneliness to the tune of my own isolation. I was alone. I just don't belong. There are attempts in our culture to try to paint a picture of where you can belong. And you think of the sitcoms, where they join together different groups of people into a common place, and they say, this is belonging, this is community. Honeymooners was like that. Two different families join together, and they create a unit. I Love Lucy, where you had two different families connected together, and they become community. You have Cheers, where people from all different walks of life get together in a bar where everybody knows your name. You have Friends, where you have young adults who have gathered together to create a common bond of community. You have Seinfeld, which is a weird one, but they connect together in a community. And the reason you have sitcoms like that is because there is a yearning, a DNA coding of each and every person to belong. You want to belong. But we all have struggled, and many of us even now are struggling with, do I really belong? As we've been looking through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we've been leaning into Ephesians chapter 2. And remember how we get to the passage this morning, which is Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. If you remember, we began looking at the powerful promises of God in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul begins with this great doxology. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters to the praise of the glory of his grace. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. A beautiful promise that even though we're separated from God by our sin, God has provided a way for us to be forgiven. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul plays out that drama of our own distance from God, how we all, every person here, every person is separated from God by sin. He describes it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "You were dead in your sin and trespass, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who now works among the sons and daughters of disobedience, among whom you also once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And you were by nature children of wrath just as the others, separated from God by our sin." Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ Jesus. By grace, you have been saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might display the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us who believe. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. It's a gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." A beautiful picture of what happens to people like you and me. We're separated from God by our sin. And then we see Jesus. And we see how Jesus has offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin through his death on the cross. And we're going to look at that next week when we have communion together. We're going to look at that beautiful picture of Christ's sacrifice for sinners like you and me. The only sacrifice that will rescue us. And how that God in his grace opened our eyes to see our need for Jesus and Jesus alone to rescue us from the despair of distance with God. How that hopelessness that we experience because we lived at enmity with God has been abolished through the death of Christ on a cross and our receiving that death as payment for our sin. And it's all a work of God's grace. It's all a work of his great love. In verse 11 of chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, remember that you were foreigners to the household of Israel, that you were aliens to the covenants of promise, that without Christ you were living without God and without hope in this world." The hopelessness that we had because we were separated from God is answered in Christ, who came to bring us to God. And for every person in this room who has tasted that wondrous truth in your own life, for every person in this room who has experienced that distance between you and God abolished as Jesus died for our sin upon a cross and built a bridge between us and God, we can, with the Apostle Paul, say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." But he does more. It's not just making us right with God. It's not just making us right with the one and the only one who can give us hope and peace and joy, but it's also connecting us together in a family. Ephesians 2, verse 19, Paul continues and he says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." Where we once were strangers to the commonwealth of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise, that's no longer who we are. We once were strangers. We once were foreigners. But now, you are fellow citizens and members of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone. This beautiful picture of what God has done for us in Christ is that it's no longer us distant from God and one another, but now Jesus has given us a place to belong. He's talking about the church here. He's talking about this church. He's talking about who we are. And we need Jesus because Jesus gives us a place to belong. He plants us in a place where we do belong. Jesus brings us into this family. I know the church gets a bad rap. It does. And certainly there are reasons for it. But the church under the lordship of Jesus Christ, following him, where he's the cornerstone, it's the best place to belong this side of heaven. The church, in all of its imperfection, is the best place to belong this side of heaven. Now, please note, I'm not in any way suggesting that people who gather here don't feel, people who gather here feel like they don't belong. They do. But it shouldn't be that way. As we look at this passage, it's my hope and prayer that every person who gathers with us, who's been rescued by God's grace through faith in Jesus, who's been brought into fellowship with God, would then find family, not only with God's family in heaven, but also God's family here on earth. That's what Jesus designed the church to be. There are people who say, "Well, God and I are just fine out in the wilderness. I can worship God at home, same as I can worship God in a building." I beg to differ. There's nowhere in the scripture where being a follower of Jesus is an isolated endeavor. There's nowhere in scripture where being a follower of Jesus is disconnected from the bride of Jesus. That's a metaphor for the church. I get being upset with some people in the church. I get that. My goodness, I'm a preacher's kid as well as a preacher. I've lived with imperfect church members all my life, and I've been one of them. So I understand that piece. But when my heart is right with God and Jesus is the cornerstone, we'll hit on that in a second. When Jesus is the cornerstone of my life and the cornerstone of this church, then he connects us together as family. So what Paul does here, he says, all right, you're no longer a stranger or a foreigner, but now you're fellow citizens and members of the household of God. If you've been rescued by God's grace, then he plants you in a family, not just a heavenly home, but an earthly family of faith. And in this context, we're here in First Norfolk, so welcome to the family. What happens in the church is we get kind of, we lose sight of why of the family. We lose sight of the why of this gathering. Today is my wife Edie's birthday. And after we gather together in worship, we're going to head to our house, and our family is going to get together, and the grandchildren are going to be there. I have two grandchildren that are this side of the womb, and one that's not quite that side, three grandchildren. And we're all going to get together, and we're going to sing songs, and we're going to eat food, and we're going to give presents in honor and in celebration of Edie. When we gather in this room, we don't gather here so that I can feel good about me. It's a great byproduct. When we gather in this room, we don't gather so that we can get presents. It's not what the family is designed. What we do when we gather in this room is we gather together with one person in focus, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have gathered to sing about and to celebrate, to give the gifts of our service to honor him. He is the focus. When Paul says we're members of the family of God, the household of God, he's talking about this is who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus, and if you're in this room, and God has led you to connect with this family of faith through faith in Christ and by leadership of his Spirit, then you're part of this family, this local gathering, and you are here, and you're here because you heard the testimony of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, which lays the foundation, Paul begins mixing metaphors. He goes from family to building, from relationship to architecture, but it's all the same point. He says the foundation of this family is hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way you get into the family is through the testimony of the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets are those who came to deliver the good news of rescuing love found through faith in Jesus Christ. It is the testimony of God revealing himself and his plan for your rescue and mine from sin's penalty and condemnation through faith in Christ. The foundation of the apostles and prophets is the word of God come alive in us that leads us to turn from our sin, place our trust in Jesus, and become part of God's family. So the foundation is this gospel witness, but it goes further. The cornerstone is Jesus himself. The foundation is built around Jesus. The subject of the foundation is Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone in that he's the one, the only one, who provides the stability and the health and the wholeness of the family or the building. He and he alone is the theme of the church. He and he alone is the focus of the church. He and he alone, according to Ephesians 1, is the head of the church. Everything in the church, in this building, this household of God, everything at First Norfolk is dependent upon Jesus. So that our focus, our source, our hope, our fuel is Jesus. And as the cornerstone, he not only provides the foundation, he also provides the direction of our church. The cornerstone is laid, and upon that cornerstone, everything else finds its dimension. The cornerstone itself, as long as we are aligned with the cornerstone, then we will be healthy. And here's what happens in the family called First Norfolk. We get unhealthy because we get disjointed from the cornerstone. Our focus is on different things, different places, mostly ourselves. And when our focus gets skewed from the cornerstone, we lead to a skewed relationship within this family. God created this church for you to belong, along with everyone else in the church, to bring praise and glory to Jesus, who is the banner under which we live, breathe, and have our being. And we get messed up as the church when we individual members of the church start thinking about what we want rather than what Jesus wants, when we start thinking we're the reason we're having this party and not Jesus. When we look at this passage, we're going to have a birthday party for Edie, and at this birthday party, you might not know this, but my wife loves pedophores. So we're going to have pedophores in celebration of Edie. I'd much prefer chocolate cake. You know what I mean? I'd prefer chocolate cake with peanut butter thrown on top. Edie loves key lime pie. So we're going to have some key lime pie. The Minkies always bring Edie a gift of key lime pie. And so we're going to have key lime. I would much rather chocolate cake with peanut butter thrown on top. But guess what? Party's not for me. Party is honor of Edie. The family of faith gets skewed because you come into a gathering to this community and you think that your desire for pedophore is more important than anything else, or your desire for chocolate cake is more important than anything else, as if this gathering was for you. And so you get mad and you disconnect from the family because you have to eat pedophores rather than chocolate cake, or chocolate cake rather than pedophores. And that's what leads to a skewed family of faith. The foundation and the cornerstone of the church, this church, First Norfolk, is Jesus, not your desire for pedophore or chocolate cake. The party's not for you or me. The party is for Jesus. And as long as we gather together and we're exalting Jesus our King and we're following after His teachings and we are pursuing Him in a spirit of holiness and growing up in holiness, as long as Jesus is my King and I gather with this people, then I will find belonging here. So often we blame not belonging on other people, and certainly there are reasons for that. But we need to begin and see where our heart is first. See, that's what family does, right? I mean, family comes together with all of our imperfections, all of our foibles. By the way, if you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find it. And if you found it and joined it, it's no longer perfect. That's not from Eric Thomas, that's from Charles Spurgeon. You say the church is filled with hypocrites. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But we're not the focus of the church. We're hypocrites pursuing holiness under the banner of Christ Jesus. And by God's grace, we're getting better. Jesus made us to be His family. He's given us a place to belong. It's called First Norfolk. But He does more. He does more than just give us family. Look at verse 21 and 22. It says, in whom? In whom? Whom is the whom? Jesus. In whom? The whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. In whom? Who is the whom?
Jesus.
In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Not only does this Jesus bring us together for as family, but Jesus brings us together as family with a holy function. He fits us together as a holy function. Now, I don't know how many of y'all do jigsaw puzzles. But you know how it works. You have a jigsaw puzzle, you pour all the pieces out on a table, and then you work to try to fit all those pieces together. In this passage, what we see is that Jesus is taking you, an individual puzzle piece, and he's fitting you into his family with great purpose and sovereignty and design. He's taking you as you are, and as he is making you to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he's making you and fitting you into this family. I wonder sometimes how many of us identify joining the church as fulfilling a certain ritual obligations. We join the church. God, I'm in this community. It's a First Baptist church or a First Presbyterian church or a Greek Orthodox church, and God's leading me to this church. And so, or it's next door or whatever reason, you say, I'm going to join the church. And so I'm going to fulfill all these ritual obligations and sign my name to the dotted line. And now I'm a member of this church. And I understand that in part, but that's not what we're reading about here. What we're reading about here is that God, by his grace, has formed you and fashioned you as his workmanship. Ephesians 2, verse 10. When you became a follower of Jesus, he remade you. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new vocation. He gave you a new quality about you. And in creating you as his workmanship, he then forged you into a specific person fit for particular function within the family. So when we think about joining the church, we need to think differently. It is not me choosing a group of people because of their ethnicity or because of their age demographic or because of their entertainment value. No, I'm going to the church that Jesus is fitting me to. I'm going to connect with the family of faith that the Spirit of God has opened my eyes and say, this is the family that I'm going to fit you into so that together we might fulfill a function. As some of us are here and we never connected to the church family. We're just spectators here. And again, that's not what God has designed. God never designed the church to be a spectator sport. You're not seated in the bleachers watching everybody else do their thing, complaining when they don't give you pedophores or chocolate cake. No, he's called us to be part of a family of faith fitted together by Jesus. Jesus taking the unique shapes and sizes of each individual puzzle piece and fitting us together in a unique way, in a special way, in a way that only he can, in a sovereign way, calling you to be part of a church family so that the gifts that he has put in you as his workmanship, as his special work of art, are now expressed for the good of the whole in accomplishing the whole purpose. So that we together are a holy temple in the Lord. So that we together are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus is doing the work of building First Norfolk by fitting each of us especially and uniquely and sovereignly, only way only he can, so that we are fulfilling the function in this way. It gives joy to our lives because we're fulfilling the purpose that God has given to us. But ultimately and finally, so that together we are fulfilling function to be a sign in the seven cities of Hampton Roads and around the world that we are where the presence of God Himself abides. The reason we do Growth Track in our church is so that you who are part of our church family and haven't found that fit that Jesus has designed for you, we want to help you find that fit. And those of you who are not yet part of our church family, we do Growth Track so that you can make that connection, so that you can become part of this family and find your fit. This is why we're family, so that we together as one voice might bring praise and glory to God Almighty and show the seven cities of Hampton Roads that if they want to know who God is, they can come here. The temple of the Spirit of God, a holy temple, is designed in the Old Testament to point people to God Himself. But friends, we don't go to a temple to worship God. We are the temple who worships God. And as the temple of the living God, we join our voices and our hearts and our hands with our focus supremely set upon Jesus, our King, who is the chief cornerstone. And we are faithful to the apostles and prophets proclaiming the good news of God's rescuing love. And we exist. First Norfolk exists to glorify God by winning and leading all the people within our reach to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And you have a part in that. Jesus has fitted you into this family to fulfill that holy function with us, that we, in a world that is filled with disconnected people who are singing their litany of loneliness to the tune of their own isolation, we, the church called First Norfolk, are helping them find belonging by pointing them to Jesus. So as I close today, I just want to close with two points. First, if you are not connected to First Norfolk and Jesus is calling you to be connected to First Norfolk, then it's time for you to connect to First Norfolk. Whatever the reasons you're disconnected, it's time to get connected. You need to join this church, it's time to join this church. You need to be part of this family of faith, it's time to be part of this family of faith. As Jesus leads you and fits you for this family of faith, it's time for you to connect. If you're a member of this church and you are opting out, then I'm asking you to turn from that sinfulness and selfishness and opt back in. I get it that there are people who cannot gather with us for worship, who cannot spend this time, and it's usually for health reasons, and I get that. But I'm talking to church family. I'm talking to you who are choosing not to be part of this family, to engage in the worship of our church because you prefer chocolate cake to pedophore. Or because somebody hurt your feelings. Or because you're just lazy. I humbly beg you as pastor of this church to turn from that sin and selfishness. Get right with our Lord Jesus Christ in the process of becoming more holy. And connect with what Jesus has called you to do. What happens to a puzzle if one piece is missing? It's frustration. It's incompleteness. Don't be the missing puzzle piece. The third thing I would say is the purpose of every local church is to glorify God in the person of Jesus Christ. in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do that by winning and leading all the people within our reach to become fully devoted followers of Christ, to be a testimony to those who are still strangers and foreigners. And this isn't some middle school journey or high school journey for us where we sit in our little clique and we make fun of the new guy that wears Lee jeans rather than Levi jeans, or whose hair is cut maybe a little long in the back. I'm not saying it was a mullet, it was just a little bit longer in the back. No, that's not what the church is. We're not sitting here making fun of strangers and foreigners. What we're doing is we're going out and trying to help strangers and foreigners become sons and daughters. And that's why we invite people to something like an Easter egg hunt or a Good Friday service or Easter weekend. We want them to hear the good news of God's rescuing love so that they too can be fitted into this family and find belonging. So today I invite you to commit to share the wonderful news of God's rescuing love found through faith in Jesus Christ, so that those who hear it might be transformed by God's grace and never be the same again. Would you bow your heads with me, please? These next few moments, there are going to be ministers here at the front, and this altar is always open during this time of response. I want to encourage you, if you're a member of First Norfolk, will you commit today to go out this week and share with others, invite to come to church, and help those who are disconnected from community, find community in this family of faith by finding Jesus and being changed. If you're here today and you're not connected to this church family and Jesus is drawing you to be connected, I'm talking about linking your life with our life. You sense Jesus is fitting you into place here at First Norfolk. But you haven't taken that step where you said, yes, I'm going to be part of this family. I invite you to come and tell one of the ministers here, or go to the next step station and let them hear your desire to connect. And maybe God right now is just convicting where you stand with Him and with this church, and He's calling you to turn from sin and selfishness and to pursue with your whole heart a holiness so that you might not be a missing piece that Jesus has fitted to this family, but you would be an active participant as His workmanship, His special work of art, doing the good works that He's called you to do. Now, Father in heaven, I pray that you would draw us to yourself and give us the courage and the boldness to respond to you in faith. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray.